Welcome everybody, present on the hall and present online, venueless. My name is Jakub Fischer. I'll be a host today for this slot on the Mayan Hall. I would like you welcome all, and our first speaker is Ben-Hur Piotr. He will be speaking about games, but not about gamification of the OpenStreetMap, just about games and all the fun that comes with playing a pieces of media that uses real world maps, a real world features, when you can go somewhere and see your own house. Welcome again, Ben-Hur Piotr. Thank you.
Thank you. It's yours.
Hello. Good noon to everyone. Thank you for being here. Welcome to the Philippines. Welcome to the University of the Philippines, Diliman. This is actually my alma mater. I studied here for both my undergrad and master's degree. And as with all college students at the time, I played a lot of video games, for better or for worse. I spent a lot of time during my college years playing games. And that's actually one of the inspirations for this talk around awesome games. Because when I was still studying at this university, one of the biggest things that actually arrived was, if you all know, Pokemon Go, right? Pogo. And early on, even early on in Pokemon Go's career, or at that time, they transitioned to using OSM for several parts of what they were doing. And that came with good things, but also a few bad things, right? So I wanted to look at not the gamification of OSM, which is done very well by MapRelay, by Street Complete, but how is OSM used in games? How is the data being used in games? What went well? What can we do better? And what else or where else can we use OSM for games, right? So that's me. My name is Ben. I'm from the Civic Literacy Initiative, BNHR in Smart City. So I do a lot of things. I dip my toes in a lot of stuff. But you don't need to know that about me for the next couple of minutes. All you need to know really is that I like open source. I like maps. So OpenStreetMap is a natural evolution of those two passions. And like I said, I like games. So for this presentation, I'll just be talking about that intersection right there. And one thing I want to let everyone know is that this idea of games and OSM, it's nothing new. On the wiki itself, on the OSM wiki itself, we have a list of so many games that either utilize OSM or OSM adjacent. So I won't be going over each and every one of them, but I'd like to highlight a few maybe samples, which I think are very interesting. And I encourage you to take a look at the wiki itself if you want to learn more, right? So let's start with probably the most popular use of OSM, and that's for AR or augmented reality games, right? So my age will be known if you know the logo on top of Pokemon Go. Anybody else here played? What faction were you? What faction were you? Yes. Anybody else who played Ingress? Before Pokemon Go was a thing, there was Ingress. I remember when I was in college, I used to play Ingress. So these are location-based games. It utilizes OSM data to influence both gameplay and also, you know, define the actual game world. What's really interesting with these kinds of games, I think, as you all would agree, is because it's more AR, it actually happens in the world, in the person's real world location. I think that was really the thing that made, you know, Ingress and Pokemon Go such a hit, because it wasn't you playing in this imaginary world, which we've all played, whether you've played Pokemon Red, Green, right, Sapphire, etc. No, you were playing Pokemon on your actual street, right? And I was also one of those players way back then. So 2016, when I was still playing a lot, to translate for those who aren't fluent in Filipino Tagalog, basically all I'm saying here is on the top post, I was sick at that time, but because I was living nearby a Pokestop, someone was keeps putting in lures. So even though I was like in bed, I could basically play the game. And at the same time, the second post basically me saying that one of the museums we have here in UP, Bulwagan ng Dangal Museum, was actually before Pokemon Go gym. So it was very interesting for me to see, because there's a lot of UP students who were also playing, there was this very frequent change of who, which team was managing that essentially that gym. So those are very interesting things that happened, but also I think we, as a community, we were all aware, and this is even the most recent one, in the recent update of Pogo, and this always happens a lot when there's an update, there's always this instance wherein some players who probably aren't familiar with Open Seat Map, or those who are just really playing the game and not as connected to the community, there's always been this issue of vandalism or altering data on OSM for use to be able to game the game, right? And this isn't, like I said, this isn't new. In 2019, state of the map, Pokemon Go, the idea of vandalism, Pokemon Go was actually used as like a case study of how and why it happened. And then 2 years ago, in state of the map US, you know, that dynamic between Pogo and OSM was also highlighted. So it's not always good, but also it's not always bad, because I think one of the things that Pokemon Go or these location-based games was able to do actually was spread Open Seat Map, and I think in general that was a good thing. There were people who probably went into Pokemon Go or Ingress mostly as players, and then went out and then came out of it as contributors, as you know, people who actually want to do Open Seat Map. And one thing I also want to highlight is, I think as a community in general, we were also very welcoming to these people, giving out tips on, you know, what to do with OSM, tips for Pokemon Go mappers or people who are using these kinds of data for these games. And again, that's one thing that I really wanted to highlight, that ever since then, we've always had a drive to be inclusive and not to, you know, just because these people are coming from a very different point of view in how they approach OSM, we don't gatekeep those kinds of things. And I think that's a very wonderful thing that you know, the community itself was able to do. So let's go to the second kind of games that I think is very interesting when it comes to using OSM, and those are the simulators, right? Again, we go to a lot of simulation games. I think the most popular one is MS Flight Simulator. So if you have a simulation rig at home, if you play MS Flight Simulator, you know that it uses a snapshot of OSM to build the terrain so that when you fly over, you know, certain places, it's realistic, it's updated, etc. I've also seen instances online wherein there are games, city simulators like City Skyline, there are modifications that allow you to extract data from OSM and then put that into the game world, similar to Super Tux Kart. So if you've played Mario Kart before, Super Tux Kart is like that open source version of that. Way back in 2013, I saw also like a way to modify the game so that you can build your own location as a race course in Super Tux Kart. So these kinds of games, they utilize OSM data to generate, you know, a more realism, more immersion in the kinds of, you know, simulations that they're doing. And similar to what happened with Pokemon Go, there are very interesting instances of what happens when OSM data gets put in something as big as Microsoft Flight Simulator. This was way back in 2020. One of the buildings, it was supposed to be just two stories. There was a typo, it was 212. So there was this really, really, really tall building in the middle of Australia. And that's the kind of thing that you will expect for that. And again, it's not really bad. I think this is something that can easily be resolved, right? And one of the things that makes it a bit difficult to use OSM in these kinds of games is the technical difficulty of actually creating mods or using OSM, extracting it, and then putting it in this game engines, for example. So like I've said, I've seen examples online. You can see examples of online of people, you know, creating these mods for these popular games. And then one of the main comments of people will say is that it's a pain in, you know, it's a pain in the butt to make it work, right? Because I have to extract, I have to at least be knowledgeable of tools that allow me to extract OSM data and the modding part of the game. So there's that dynamic as well. Is there an easy way to use OSM data for these games? And if so, how can we improve that? But again, it's also not all bad. When you're looking around online, I saw that the people are really passionate about, you know, you being able to use this data and these games. They're providing support. They're always there. They actually do, you know, the cleaning, the part that's necessary for us to utilize OSM in these games. So there's always that hope, right? That people out there are passionate enough to use OSM for the kind of thing that, you know, they really want to do. I want to use OSM for, you know, flight simulation. I want the Philippines to have really good, you know, really good data inside that. Then I'll map the Philippines, or I'll map whatever location I have, right? So simulators, AR games, well, simulators very, 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 are very serious. Let's go to our casual games, right? What are the casual games that that actually can use OSM? And these ones, there's so many of them. I'm not gonna list down all of them, but one of the interesting things I saw was a guesser game based on wiki data and OSM. It was really amazing because anybody who watches GeoGuessr as a, yeah, it's even an esport. You can consider it an esport now, right? It's an amazing game. And like the idea of building something like that using more, you know, OSM data and open source tools. I mean, this was years ago as well. You can go to the link, you can go to the site, try to play the game. Just don't look at the source code because I think the list of locations are somewhere there in a JSON file. But yeah, and the idea of building something like this is just awesome, right? And this one, OSM 15 Puzzle by Eugene. So Eugene is one of the OGs of OpenStreetMap Philippines. He's one of the people who also introduced a lot of us to OSM. And this was actually the thing that inspired me to basically send this talk over. When he made this, I said, it dawned on me, yeah, there's so many other things that we can use OSM for instead of just, you know, the basic maps that we create, you know, the serious stuff that we create, essentially. There's so many things that we can do. And because, you know, OSM is open source, and what Eugene did was open source, the natural evolution of this is someone would make something better. So after a while, you know, the Enimap puzzle was created, which evolves or improves upon what Eugene created, wherein you can just add in a name, the style of map tile that you want, the size of the size of the puzzle, and then you can do that on, you know, try to, you know, solve your puzzle. So that's the natural evolution when you build on something that's, you know, open source. You're going to build at something that's open, right? And with that, the question, of course, is what's next, right? So I think you all know where I'm going to get to, and that's NFTs. No, 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 no. just kidding. I'm just kidding. No, 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 no. OSM, something that I feel like I haven't really found online is the use of OSM in more tangible, tactile games. So tabletop and board games with the use of OSM, it's something that I've been playing around in my head, and I'm pretty sure someone else has been playing around with this idea many, many times before. Because yeah, this itself isn't new. 2021 Google Summer of Code, there was a small proposal on OSM for games, and the idea up till now is the same. If you have a converter between OpenStreetMap data and an actual rule set for games, you can generally use OSM, I think, to build, you know, for world building, for map building, etc. And the thing is, there's a lot of open source rule sets, SRDs, etc. Available. So these already provide you with what is acceptable in this game world. How do you build a map? How do you build? What do you create on that map? What are the elements on that map? And it's the converter of the data from OSM to these kinds of maps. If it's a hexagonal grid map, it's a grid map, it's a normal map. That's something that I think we can take a look at, right? Right. And of course, puzzles. From way, way back, people were probably building puzzles out of OSM, right? And last, OSM and other, you know, genres that actually require maps. I saw this on Steam. It's Infection Free Zone. It's like a city builder pandemic simulator wherein they say that you can play anywhere because they use OSM data. So you can type a city, it extracts the data from OSM and it generates the game world on that. So I haven't played it. I think it was on Kickstarter and it's still on early access. But yeah, these things are very, very interesting because the same idea with tabletops, you already have the rule set available. You already have the game that's available. You need OSM to build the environment, to build the maps, etc. Right? If you play Battle for Westnoth or any tactics games that provide you with the ability to build maps, the same thing. If you can find a way to convert actual data from OSM to the game world, then you have my idea is you can create a campaign that is both very unrealistic because it's in a fantasy world, but also has a dash of realism because you based it off of your own experiences. So imagine creating a D&D or Pathfinder campaign for a map created for the University of the Philippines or your area because of a converter that you have, right? So those kinds of things are things that we can do as well. And last one, collectible card games or trading card games. You know, probably not going to be as big as Pokemon or Magic, but one of the things that I did a few years ago was at that time, Daniel Huffman or Pinakographos, as he's known online, he had this project called the Projection Collection. It's essentially a card game, a trading card game for map projections. It was very interesting. I bought one, a lot of packs actually. So the idea of, you know, it is something I think we can do. It's something that it's very, very tangible, very feasible. And they look really, really good. So I can just imagine having, you know, OSM, OSM communities, different kinds of maps built on OSM on cards that we can all trade, we can all collect, etc. So I have 71 of the 77 cards. If anybody here is also a collector, I have my collection in my bag. Please let me know if you're also collecting. Maybe I have something that you don't. Maybe you have something that I don't. Let me know. All right. So just last, there are other things I didn't take into consideration, like legal stuff. But you know, that's all. So that's it for me. What do you guys think? Thank you.
All right, now let's start the Q&A section for a couple of minutes because we have next speaker. Come here. We will be asking you questions from our venueless application. So the first question, the most upvoted, you mentioned different types of OSM-based games. Which one do you think has the most potential in the future?
That's a great question, and for me this will be biased towards my bias towards games that are actually tangible and can be kept open, right? So for me, tactile tangible games. I would love to see a game based on OpenStreetMap that is more, you know, something that we can touch, something that can't be taken away because a cloud service goes down, etc. That's why the last ones, card collecting games, board games, the kinds of things that you can provide the source code to, etc., and someone could just download that and play it themselves. For me, those are the ones that I would love to support. Those are the ones for me that I would love to support.
All right, another questions. How do you think OSM-based games can attract more and more people or contribution in the world?
Yeah, I mean, I think Pokemon Go was a great example of not getting introduced to OSM, not for the mapping part. And I think that's where games come in. A lot of us here probably came into OSM because we like the mapping. We like the open source part. That's the kind of communities we grew up in. But games, usually, there are different niches where games come in. And OSM-based games, for me, the kinds of games that are more easy to understand and easy to play for people who aren't already part of the community, I think those are the kinds of games that would bring in more people. Because if we just create games that are for our own community, then it's just going to be still us. But if we go outside of that and, you know, build games that are more for general consumption and just it's adjacent to how OSM is, I feel like that brings in more people who are at the edges, people who aren't really OSM people yet, but would probably become OSM people in the future if they just get introduced to OpenSeatMap.
All right, the last question from Venueless List. What about non-computer games, tabletop games? Have there been many, or what barriers of opportunities to combat?
When I was doing some of the research around this, I didn't really see any. I saw like some of those examples. I think one of the, do we have an OSM community for tabletop gamers yet? Maybe we can, right? Maybe we can have, that's something we can do. I feel I don't look at it as a hindrance, because like I said, there are actual open source game rules that we can use. It's just that maybe there's not a lot of intersection right now in terms of people who play tabletop games or who build games on tabletop games, etc., and OSM people at the moment. But if that intersection becomes larger and larger, then I feel like we can create those tangible games with OSM.
Thank you for all questions from Venueless. What about question about here, from the room? Do you have any question? One question, last question. Somebody? Mister. That's the great question.
No, I mean it sounds a lot like Ingress. If you've played Ingress before, it's capture the flag. You have two factions. Well, you just have two factions there. And when one faction captures one flag, it actually connects and creates an area, essentially an AOE for that faction to control, right? And yeah, that would be an amazing something that could be added on top of something like that. More of an area of an AOE or dominion based map, right? But yeah, if you didn't play Ingress before, I encourage you to check it out. It's very similar to the kind of thing that you were mentioning.
Thank you very much for Mr. Ben Horu-Pintor for this presentation. Yes. Thank you very much. Thank you for all the questions from attendees here and online.